Stephanie, you ready? Commissioners ready?
Yep.
All right, good afternoon. It is 1 p.m. on March 31st, 2025. This is the first of two hearings set by the Notice of Public Hearing issued by the North Dakota Public Service Commission on March 5th, 2025 for case number PU-24-361. My name is Hope Hogan, and I am the hearing officer that has been designated for today's hearing. I'm an administrative law judge designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission. Our hearing today is being held at the Carl Bader Hall at the Underwood City Hall in Underwood, North Dakota. As we begin our hearing, I'd ask that everybody please check your cell phones to make sure they're either turned off or silenced so that we don't have cell phone interruptions as we move forward with our hearing today. There is an attendance sheet or a sign-in sheet by the front door. The commission would ask that everybody please sign that sheet so that they have a record of all who attended our hearing today. A hearing in this case was previously held on February 26, 2025, at which time the commission heard testimony from four Basin Electric witnesses and heard public testimony. Following the hearing, the commission determined that insufficient notice was given for that hearing and chose to schedule a second hearing to be held in Underwood. I would also note that a third hearing regarding this case will be heard this Friday on April 4th in Stanley, North Dakota, pursuant to the March 5th, 2025 Notice of Public Hearing. This hearing concerns an application of Basin Electric Power Cooperative for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for a 162-mile, 345-kilovolt electric transmission located in Mercer, McLean, Ward, Montreal, and Williams County, North Dakota. The project will originate from the Leland Olds Station, 345-kilovolt substation located near Stanton, North Dakota, and will terminate at the Tandy 345-kilovolt substation near Tioga, North Dakota. The notice of filing and notice of public hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined in this matter. Number one, will the construction, operation, and maintenance of the facility at the proposed location produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Is the proposed facility compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And number three, will the construction, operation, and maintenance of the facility at the proposed location minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? I'm now going to ask the parties to state their appearance for the record. Ms. Olson, do you want to introduce yourself and introduce any witnesses you intend to call today?
Yes. Good afternoon. I am Maggie Olson, Senior Staff Counsel for Basin Electric Power Cooperative. Today I have one witness with me, Mr. Bobby Nassett. He is the project manager and will give an overview of the project.
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Johnson, do you want to state your appearance for the record and introduce commission staff that's appearing with you?
Sure. Brian Johnson, legal counsel for the Public Service Commission. With me is Chris Hansen. He's one of our analysts. I do not have any witnesses today.
All right. Thank you. And just so I'm aware, by a show of hands, can I ask who attended the last hearing? And if you attended the last hearing, maybe you could raise your hand. All right. Great. Thank you. That's helpful. Testimony from the public will be taken today at the completion of the testimony from Basin's witness. Even if you testified at the last hearing, you may testify at this hearing as well. The testimony from the last hearing will be considered still part of the record for this case. And I encourage you to take the opportunity to testify today and tell the commissioners anything you think they need to know about this proposed project. I can assure you that what you have to say is important to the commission and will be considered by the commission. So now I'll ask if there's any opening comments from the commissioners, and I'll start with Commissioner Kringstad.
Thank you. I think Judge Hogan did a pretty good job of explaining sort of why we're here again. It doesn't sound like any of you were at our initial hearing that was held at the end of February, but thank you for being here again today. At that February hearing, we heard from four different witnesses from the company, asked a lot of questions. The hearing went on for several hours, and we heard public input at the end. So I don't think, in regards to being cognizant of your guys' time, we're not going to redo all that testimony again, so you shouldn't be here for hours on end. But what we are here to do is briefly hear from a project overview from the company, and then if you have any public input to share with us, we'd certainly like to hear that. So thank you again for being here.
Commissioner Christman?
Well, and to emphasize, that is why we come out and do these things, and even if it does not get properly noticed in the news, in one of the five newspapers, we come out again to make sure that people had a chance to testify, because our role in this is not to see that a project gets built or try to get in the way of a project. Our role is to make the best decision possible based on what the law requires, whether they meet the standard or not. And we can make the best decision when we have as much information as possible. So we are really out here to not only hear from the company and ask our questions, but to hear from the people. Many times people have information that maybe the company doesn't know about and that we certainly don't know about that ends up being useful in making sure that if something is built that it's cited appropriately. So we value your opinions. The other thing that I want to point out that is unique about this, after the company's done with their summary or presentation, if it seems like the commission is not very inquisitive and doesn't have very many questions, it's because we just went through this whole thing the last time. And as for me, I know I asked my questions. I have a few more that I want to inquire about when we're in Stanley that are more specific to that area. And I might have a couple today, a couple of updates that I asked for that were going to be provided at the Stanley hearing. Maybe they have them now already. But I know, speaking for myself, I am certainly not going to have very many questions because we just did this recently. So just so you understand, if it seems like we don't ask very many questions, it's because we already asked them.
Thank you. Commissioner Haugenhofer?
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. As Hope said, I'm Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer. Everything's been covered regarding the formalities from the judge and from the other two commissioners. So all what I can say is welcome, and I'm glad you're here and willing to participate.
All right. Thank you. And I will note that the audio from the first hearing is available on the commission website under the hearing docket if you want further information or to listen to the testimony from the basin witnesses at the last hearing. Likewise, all the exhibits will be available on the docket on the commission's website as well. And with that in mind, at the last hearing, well, I should say prior to that, Basin Electric pre-filed 14 exhibits. They have another exhibit that they passed out this afternoon, certificate relating to order provisions, transmission facility siting. I'm going to mark that as Exhibit 15. At our prior hearing, we had an intervener that wasn't prepared to stipulate to admission of the exhibits, so we left that issue open. That intervener has voluntarily withdrawn from the hearings. So with that in mind, it's my understanding, Mr. Johnson, the commission does not have any objection to exhibits 1 through 14. Likewise, I assume you're not objecting to exhibit 15.
No objection to any of those.
All right. So exhibits 1 through 15 will be entered into the record then. And I'll just ask if the parties have any other preliminary matters we need to discuss before we move to testimony. Ms. Olson, did you have anything?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson?
No, Your Honor.
Great. Then, Ms. Olson, you can call your witness.
Okay. I'll call Mr. Bobby Nassett.
Morning.
Good afternoon. I'll have you start by stating your full name for the record and spelling your last name.
Bobby Nassett, N-A-S-S-E-T.
And Mr. Nassett, before you testify this afternoon, I'm required by law to advise you on the penalties for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
I do, Your Honor.
And being advised of the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Olson.
Good afternoon. To start, please state your name and employer.
My name is Bobby Nassett. I'm employed by Basin Electric Power Cooperative. Our address is 1717 East Interstate Avenue in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Please describe your educational and professional background.
I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of North Dakota. I received a bachelor's degree in civil engineering from North Dakota State in 2005. And I've been employed with Basin Electric for the last 9 years and for nearly 20 years as a civil engineer.
What is your role with respect to this transmission line project?
I'm the project manager and responsible for managing the project's budget, schedule, and coordinating the various project design efforts, routing, right-of-way acquisition, engineering, procurement, permitting, and construction.
What is the purpose of your testimony today?
Today, I will define the project, describe the design and routing, and update the commission on permit status and right-of-way acquisition status to date.
Please describe Basin Electric.
Basin Electric is a regional wholesale electric generation and transmission cooperative organized under the laws of the state of North Dakota and headquartered in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Please provide a general description of the project and its location.
The project is approximately 161 miles long and connects a 345 kV transmission line from the Leland Old Station near Stanton to Basin Electric's existing substation near Tioga called the Tandy Substation. The project completes a 345 kV transmission loop throughout northwest and north central North Dakota and is shown in Exhibit 1, if you have your pre-filed exhibits, that provides an overview of the project map. I'll go through a few of the key features of the project. They include a new terminal addition at the existing substation at Tandy, and then a new greenfield 345 115 kV substation, which will be called Crane Creek, within Montrell County, which will provide a new 115 kV delivery point for Montrell Williams Electric Cooperative. We'll have a new microwave tower approximately 4 miles west of Douglas. And then two other components of the project I wanted to talk about is the first 40 miles north of the river in McLean County will be reconstructed as a double circuit line. So our new circuit will be 345, and we'll be rebuilding an existing Basin Electric transmission line, which was called the Leland Olds to Logan transmission line. So for the 40 miles, that will be constructed as a double circuit. And then also, the 11 miles west of Crane Creek will be built as double circuit. 11 miles will be for Basin Circuit, and then the other part of that will be a new 115 kV line for Montrell Williams that will go from Crane Creek to the existing Satterwhite substation.
Please describe the schedule for the project.
Our goal is to start construction this spring or early summer, and pending approval of all the permits, we'd like to complete the work and energize it by November 30th, 2026.
What is the estimated cost of the project?
The current cost projection is $360 million.
What was Basin Electric's philosophy when routing the project?
In selecting the final route for the project, our goal has been to minimize impacts and to accommodate existing land uses while also managing material, construction, and maintenance costs. We have our own standard criteria as well as the Commission's criteria and objectives when we're routing a transmission line. They're as follows. We want to comply with Commission's avoidance and exclusion criteria, minimize disturbance to cultivated croplands, avoid areas with identified recreational significance when possible, limit interference with oil and gas development and other utilities, decrease construction and maintenance hazards, span wetlands when possible, and avoid areas less suitable for construction and operation. And then as we select our routes, we adjust the alignments and structural locations pending landowner feedback to accommodate their preferences. So using these standards and county ordinances, as well as the commission criteria for this project, we've evaluated over 700 miles of different route options and have made numerous iterations based on landowner feedback.
Please describe the project need and how it was identified through the Southwest Power Pool, or SPP, regional study process.
So Basin Electric participates in an annual transmission planning process called the Integrated Transmission Planning Process, or the ITP, and that is administered by Southwest Power Pool, who is a regional transmission organization mandated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to ensure reliable power supply and adequate transmission infrastructure. So the need for this specific project was identified through the 2021 ITP process to address growing power demand and electric reliability concerns in the region. The assessment found a need for an additional 345 kV transmission path north of Lake Sakakawea and to a new load delivery point into the 115 kV system north of Newtown. This project also completes a 345 kV transmission loop throughout North Dakota, and the 115 kV delivery point will be at that proposed Crane Creek substation. SPP issued a notice to construct to Basin, directing us to construct the project in July of 2022.
If the project is not built, what would happen to the electrical transmission system in northwestern North Dakota?
Basin Electric's recent load forecasts continue to show growth in this region, which is causing stress to the existing infrastructure. The existing transmission capacity in this region is insufficient, and unless the project is constructed, future load growth will be restricted. In addition, transmission congestion will be higher, and the transmission system will be less reliable because of the inability to perform planned maintenance on existing critical circuits. There is a concern as maintenance outages are a necessity, and the inability to take those out can impact reliability to transmission customers.
Can you please explain Basin Electric's consultation with federal agencies to date?
So Basin Electric submitted an application and received a special use permit from the United States Department of Interior's Bureau of Reclamation for crossing the McCluskey Canal, and that was approved November 26, 2024. We also have several areas in the project where we cross U.S. Fish and Wildlife managed grassland easements, so we submitted an application. They have completed their compatibility determination, and now it has been submitted for a 30-day comment period, which is set to expire on April 17th, 2025. We've worked with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for Section 10 and Section 404 authorizations. These are for the crossing of the Missouri River and to place structures within a wetland. That authorization was received and approved on February 28th, 2025. We've also consulted with the U.S. Air Force regarding structure placement in relation to their operations. They have concluded the project will have minimal impacts on military operations. We also resubmitted those structures to the Air Force 2 months ago with some minor structure changes, and just today received their concurrence on those locations. We also consulted with the Federal Aviation Administration regarding structural locations and heights, and it was determined that all structures have a determination of no hazard to air navigation.
Can you please explain Basin Electric's consultation with local agencies to date?
Transmission lines are permitted under conditional uses in McLean, Mercer, Montrail, and Ward counties. In Williams County, they are a permitted use. So we have submitted conditional use permit applications for the remaining four counties, and to date, we've received approvals from McLean, Mercer, and Ward County. The application had been submitted to Montrail County, and the conditional use permit for the substation has been approved, and the transmission line has been tabled pending final easement acquisition.
Please summarize the current right-of-way acquisition for this project.
There are 269 landowners on the project, and to date, 255 of them have signed easements, or 95%. The project is around 161 miles, and if we include the state land, 156 of the 161 miles have been acquired for a total of 97%.
Thank you. I have no further questions for Mr. Nassett.
Mr. Johnson, any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Hansen?
No questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Kringstad?
I know at the last hearing you had testified just where we were at with easement acquisition. Are we still at 93%, or do you have an update for us on that number?
Yep, a slight increase in that. We're up to 95% now. And still working with a number of landowners.
That's all I had. Thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman?
And I want to go, I couldn't write as quickly as you spoke. You say it was 255 of 269
Correct.
On the landowners?
Yep.
Okay, and on the miles, 156 of 161?
Correct.
And I could do the math, but it's easier to just ask. You said that's 97%?
Right.
Okay. So then I was able to write as fast as you talked.
Sorry to clarify on that mileage. 5 miles are on state trust land that we're including in that. So.
Okay. And then regarding the five county conditional use permits, Williams doesn't require that. The other four, you said you have three of them, Montrail, and it was pending, but I didn't understand what you said.
Yes, so Montrail County has tabled the application, so not denied that, pending completion of all of the easement acquisition in that county. So we have 103 out of 113 landowners have signed easements in Montrail County. And so, again, we're still working with those remaining landowners, and our plan will be to attend the Montrail County hearing. I think it's in late April here, April 20th. They're planning a zoning hearing.
So do you think they're going to hold fast to that requirement of 100%? Because, I mean, one person could literally be impossible, potentially.
Yeah, I think the county for sure wants assurance that this is the final route, and so we're in some active negotiations with two landowners, and if that leads to moderate changes in the alignment, we would update that for the county. And then I think once we've selected our final route and can present that to the county, we're hoping that that will lead to approval for the project. We understand there might be still some remaining landowners we need easements on, but we have almost 70 miles of the project is within Montrail County, and hoping to be able to start construction in the areas that we do have easements on would be our hope.
And when you say landowners, if there's a parcel of land that, you know, maybe was inherited by a bunch of siblings, and so there's five or six different landowners, but it's a parcel. You count that as one, right?
Correct.
You either have it or you don't.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And a question that I had for Mr. King that who's going to answer in Stanley, but I'll throw it out now in case you know the answer. Do any counties along this path require the county approval of your weed management plan? I know you have submitted it to the counties. Do any require approval?
Yeah, my understanding is all the counties have approved that.
Okay. No other questions? Thank you.
Commissioner Haugenhofer?
Thank you. I know we talked about this at the last hearing, and you just touched on it, but the need for this is due to load growth. Can you expand upon that? Because everyone here in the public wasn't here last time. So do you want to please expand upon what you mean by load growth and to meet that need?
Sure. And so Basin Electric has their own forecasting team that's looking at future load growth, and part of that is from inputs from our member electric rural cooperatives. So they are also forecasting additional load and then also measuring load as it's coming up year to year. And so this project was already on the radar in 2019 as a potential need, but it has to go through a pretty large study process with the ITP through Southwest Power Pool's regional transmission planning process. So throughout 2021, this project was evaluated against other potential solutions as well to address both reliability and the load growth needs here. And this was the project that was selected that could best meet those needs. So in addition to the new load delivery point at Crane Creek, so this is 345 kV injection of power into a specific area within Montreal County that has specific benefits for that location. It also, if you still have that figure one, mm-hmm. from the pre-filed exhibits, you can just see from this map, if you look at the red lines, it has a very helpful benefit in that it completes the 345 kV transmission loop. So we have a circuit right now from the existing Judson substation near Williston that goes to the Tandy substation. If we were to lose that circuit, for example, for an unforced outage or some other emergency, the Tandy substation now no longer has any 345 kV delivery. And that the system will have to be served completely on the 230 kV or 115 kV. Voltage classes, which might have been enough power 10 or 15 years ago, but it isn't anymore. So we have a number of maintenance needs throughout the system, and Mr. Westby testified last time we need to replace breakers at the AVS station that are over 40 years old, and we just can't take an outage on that substation yet until we have another direct 345 kV path to the area. So it's really two things. It's increased load delivery, but it's also a great enhancement in reliability and redundancy in the system.
Do you see a large load growth in the oil and gas industry out in the western part of the state, or is it pretty stable?
That's my understanding, that's been a large driver for this project, is oil and gas. Yep.
Okay. One more question just for the general public. When you look at this, do you ever look at going burying things underground, and how do you evaluate the cost benefit? Do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, the question comes up pretty much every project, and so we look at that. And we did last year commission a new study just to get up-to-date cost on underground for high voltage transmission lines. Mm-hmm. And pretty much across the country, it's not feasible for this high voltage and this high of ampacity to bury it underground. You do see it sometimes in a city where it's physically impossible for overhead construction. It might be for 300 or 400 feet like that. But I think the cost that we saw for this circuit, for 3,000 amps capacity at 345, would be in the $30 to $40 million a mile range for that kind of construction. So,
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Any redirect, Ms. Olson?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Hansen?
No, Your Honor.
Any other commissioner questions? All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Nassett.
Thanks so much.
We'll now move to public testimony. If you would like to provide any testimony this afternoon, I'd ask that you please come forward one at a time and sit in our witness stand. Like Mr. Nassett, I will swear you in, and then you can provide your testimony, and then we'll go around the room and see if there's any questions. If you're representing a group or an entity, please identify who you are representing. Likewise, if you are a landowner, if you could provide a description of where your property is, that would be helpful for the commissioners as well. This is your opportunity to make a statement and provide information to the commission. It's not the time to ask the commissioners or the applicant any questions. Likewise, if you'd like to read something and you have a hard copy of it, you can certainly pass that out as well. So with that in mind, I will ask if there's anybody that would like to provide public testimony this afternoon. Good afternoon. I'll have you state your full name for the record and spell your last name.
Stephen Hager, H-E-G-E-R.
And Mr. Hager, you were in the room earlier when I went through the penalties for perjury?
I was.
And do you understand what perjury is?
Yes.
And being advised of the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case this afternoon?
I do.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, first off, thank you guys for coming back. I was unable to attend last meeting, so I guess it's just my luck and you're unfortunate, so sorry for all that extra hassle. First off, I want to say I'm not opposed to this project, right? Like, I understand the need for the infrastructure, I really do. But I farm here in McLean County. My farm is a half mile west of Underwood, and this power line cuts through three of my landlords and my parents. So it's a big effect on us, right? At the end of the day, I know these projects need to be here, but they have an increased liability of my operation, and they have a decrease in efficiency. And that's just an emotional view of it, right? Like, if I hit one of these things, there's a lot of liability. Same time, we have to go around towers. Now, I understand they're going to tear down the old line, so that helps, right? Like, and hopefully the pole placement's going to be good, so hopefully we can get through that part of it. So really what it comes down to is what's this worth to us? What's the negatives that impact us, and what's the compensation worth? That's a hard part, right? Like I don't want more power lines, but I understand a need for them. So I'd really like to see the commission start to go in a little bit different direction in how this process works. My original farm is a mile west of the power plant, so this is kind of my world, right? Like we're affected by the mine every day. We're in the middle of the CO2 stuff. We're in the middle of wind turbines. You name it, everything, Bitcoin, everything, it's around us, and we deal with this. And every time these projects come, they come to our landlords, and they seem to come to our landlords first, and then it's just mass chaos breaks out, and it all comes back to us as the local producers. So I'd really like to see the process start with some sort of public meeting with the people that are affected and the county commissioners or county, whoever from the county wants to come, because the roads are a big deal too, right? There's going to be a lot of concrete trucks. There's like 60 yards of concrete per pole, I think. So a lot of infrastructure to build this project. And what ends up happening is some of our landowners are, they don't know the worth, right? Like, they don't know what the inconvenience is worth. They just see a dollar amount, so they just sign. And then all of a sudden, that just takes some of our collective bargaining power away. Just because, for lack of better terms, they've kind of taken us out of the room one by one, and people have signed, and it just puts us, the people that have to deal with the power line, in a tougher position to help negotiate and bargain to get to the proper terms. Just for example, we went through this a few years ago when Apex was trying to build a wind turbine plant here, and ultimately that project failed and went under. But that process, they were going to run that power line through our place, a smaller power line. The worth was almost twice as much as the leases here. The only difference is eminent domain, right? When you get back to your 97% question, that's the difference. There was more bargaining power, so the worth was there. Now, I'm not saying we need to pay the same, because I understand this project needs to move forward and there's different rules. But at the end of the day, if we can have some more tools to be collectively aligned as a group of affected people, that would help. So once again, I'm not opposed to the project. I just would like to see the policies in the direction how you guys proceed in the future be changed a little bit. I'm sure I missed some stuff. You know, we're just so affected here where we're at. I mean, our farm got moved. I've been through some of this process before. We're the first people ever moved back on reclamation ground. Our farm is. So we're in and around every day. And when they come out of the gate with the process like they do, it just creates havoc. I guess that's what I have. With that, I'll entertain. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to take them, or anybody wants to visit or whatever.
All right, thank you. Ms. Olson, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson?
It's been a long time since I ran any equipment, but I do understand what you're saying. Have you been able to speak with Basin about possible moving of structure locations to see if that would help at all address some of your concerns?
Yes, and I need to clarify one thing. I am not the actual landowner. That it's my parents' land, it goes across, and my siblings in their estate, their portion of it. So the pole placement question, yeah, so they come diagonally across one of our fields, and the first original pole placement question came up, and they drew it out for me, and I suggested, okay, this is it. This is what we need, and we're still in that process. My parents and my brothers have signed the lease, so we're acting in good faith with them now on that. I also approached them about a couple of our landlords, saying, hey, can we talk to these guys about pole placement? And they've agreed to that. So that took a little bit more work. Like I said, if we could have done some of that up front, it probably would have been a little bit easier process.
Thank you. No further questions.
Mr. Hansen, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Kringstad?
Just one follow-up. So just to clarify, would these, when we're talking about pole placement, would these be new poles on these sections of land, or do you already have, is this part of the line that's already existing that they're just replacing?
Yeah, there's existing line right now. Currently, I think there's three poles, and two of them are on the edge of the field, and one of them's kind of out in the middle.
Okay.
So their new pole placement plan, they first come, actually had two poles out in the middle of the field. And so now we're hoping to try to get those poles realigned, and I'm pretty sure we can do it. It's just going to take a little bit of work with them. I mean, you guys know farming's changed. I mean, we're doing, my planter's 66 feet, and I go 7.5 miles an hour. My sprayer is 135 feet wide, and it goes 18 miles an hour. And these poles aren't cheaper than the ones that are out there, so liability's huge, you know. And now we don't really have a choice. That liability's coming, right? So it's tough, but we can get through it.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head for any of these parcels that we're talking about, like the legal description, just so we can look them up?
If you give me just a couple minutes, I can provide that. I believe it's section 11-146 something. Okay. I can get that for you, though.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I had. Thanks for being here.
Yep. Thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
If you are able to stay till we're all the way done, I wouldn't mind visiting with you about your farm. I was involved at the
commission. I remember that.
At that time already, and you know, you always wonder how things turned out in retrospect. And so, but aside from that, as far as this goes, I'm trying to think through what you're saying. And first of all, what I want you to know is we the siting laws are long and detailed, and we follow that process. And so to significantly change the process is really more of a legislative thing for you to potentially work on with legislators. But I'm not sure how well that would be received to, you know, it would be viewed as bypassing the landowners and going to the operators, as opposed to, I think there would be a strong pushback to that, saying, no, it's the landowner that the company should approach first. So I'm just providing that feedback. You can respond to it if you like. But
okay, yeah. I might have not stated it as clear as I wanted to. I think the landowners need to be the ones brought into the room. But the landowners, to get the landowners collectively together in some way, shape, or form, or something, some notice before the lease. I want some sort of notice that, hey, this project is coming, and if you guys want to talk about it as a group, now is the time before the lease has come, before the whole project kind of starts, just to get out ahead of it a little bit. Because that's, this is kind of what happens when we see a lot of projects that get blown up this way around here, right? Like there's not some sort of alignment before it happens. It just kind of shows up, and then all of a sudden it just gets crazy. And that's kind of what we've dealt with here, especially when we went through the wind stuff. That was the way they kind of came in and managed that from the beginning is probably the reason the whole project failed.
Got it. Thank you for being here, Jared.
Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you, but I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hager.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to provide public testimony?
Your Honor?
Mm-hmm.
If I just called you Jared, I'm not sure if I did or not.
Yeah, you did. It's Stephen.
There's Jared Hagert in the legislature that I've been working with on some stuff. So sorry about that, Stephen.
All right, good afternoon. I'll have you state your full name for the record, and if you'll spell your last name.
My name is Paul Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-Z.
And Mr. Schultz, were you in the room earlier when I went through the penalties for perjury? And do you understand what perjury is?
Yes.
And being advised of the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today? All right, thank you. Go ahead.
I had no idea what was going on here. We just seen this in the paper, and I'm here. Am I addressing the Public Service Commission? Is that what this is all about?
That's correct, yep.
You're just what I'm looking for. There's a few things that I've experienced over my lifetime, and I'm 75 years old now. I have property about 790 acres, somewhere in that area. And I just happen to have three separate companies with power lines on my land. I'm blessed. Even if I have one here, one there, they seem to come right through. Anyway, my folks ended up in 51 or 52, 53, somewhere in there with the original line that came out of the dam. And it serves Washburn and Bismarck and, you know, several. It's called the WAPA line. Anyway, the question that I've got about that is I have the original easement that my folks signed, and it's a 99-year lease. And that's going to be due in 53. What do we do with that?
Well, Mr. Schultz,
it's legally not going to be there anymore.
As I mentioned at the beginning, it's not the time to ask questions to the commission.
I understand that.
Yep. So that. Perhaps somebody.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
It's something to keep in mind because there's probably more people that have the original easement. because the one that came through in 63, another one of the lines from there, didn't have that agreement in it, so they'd already ran into trouble. But the original line is going to have that problem somewhere along the line. The other thing that I'm concerned about is that when you sign an easement with one of these companies, there should be, I've thought about this a lot, and every time they sell it, and these power lines that I have been sold, two of them been sold a couple times, and one of them has been sold three times. And that should not be allowed. They should have to come back and make a new contract, the new owner. Because for the simple reason is that they ain't fair. It's not fair. It just isn't fair to do that. One line I got on mine comes from Rainbow over here now, and that used to belong, my original easement was with UPA CPA. And then Great River Energy come along and they bought the line. It runs to Minnesota. And Rainbow bought this place for a dollar, and now they are, another company bought the power line, its name is Nexum, I think. They own it, and nobody come and talk to me about any of the easement, you know. And I just don't think that's right. And what happens with these power lines is like that one in particular, it says in my easement that it's supposed to have 400 megawatts in it. And when they put that in, the plant was 400 megawatts. But since then, it's turned into 1,100. Now, my easement says that they can't do that. They can't run that kind of power through there. My easement says 400 megawatts. So I just want you people to be aware of what's going on out there. When they tell you that, you know, I mean, that it should tell how much power they're going to put through it, and if we put more power through it than that, we're going to have to come back and renegotiate. Because you just took a line that was designed for 400 megawatts, and you put 1,100 in it. Now that's not safe for the public, because we don't even know it. We don't even know that there's that kind of power in there. And then I'm just going to say it anyway. You guys don't want me talking about it today, but I'm really sick and tired of these guys mining up perfectly well. Some of the best farmland in North Dakota, and they're using the power to mine Bitcoin. Now, I realize it's their deal and they can do what they want with it, but it's not in the public's best interest. It's not being used what it was supposed to be used for, by supplying people with power. They're using this stuff to mine Bitcoin, and I just think that's wrong. That's all I got to say. Is there any questions?
Go around the room and I'll ask. Ms. Olson, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson?
No questions, but as far as...
You have to speak up a little bit. I'm hard of hearing.
Sure. As far as easements go, that's private between the company and the landowner. We have nothing to do with those. We have no legal authority to do anything with them. I understand you're frustrated with it, but I'm just saying, legally, the commission has no ability to address easements.
You can just think about that when you're going to approve something.
No, we're not legally allowed to. They're outside of our jurisdiction.
Well, then what's the purpose? I mean, if you can't decide what they do.
Well, if they don't have the easements, they can't build the line, but that's out of our control. The state lawmakers, you can go look it up online. There's nothing in the law that governs the Public Service Commission that allows us to change or make mandates and easements. And I don't think anybody in here would want the government having control over the easements on their land. Just a statement. I'm just letting you know that I understand you're frustrated. I'm just saying there's nothing that we can do. That's between you and the company. If there's issues with that, it's between you and the company, and it's just outside of the Public Service Commission. A lot of people think that we can deal with them, but we don't have any authority to. We've not been given the authority by the people and the lawmakers to deal with easements on these issues.
Mr. Hansen, any questions?
Yeah, I was just going to make one comment about talking about the sale of the lines. Brian Johnson can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that a line that we cite, that we cited initially, if that line is bought or sold later on, then that has to come before us to approve, and there would be a hearing at that point. So this line, for instance, if anybody would, since we're citing the line, if they would try to sell this line later on, there would be a subsequent hearing to discuss the sale of the line, as far as I'm aware.
Sale of an easement again would be something that's it's in the easement, it's out of our control.
Sure, but I mean.
Commissioner Kringstad, any questions?
So just to clarify, does this project in particular cross any of your
land? No, it does not.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted other people to be here. Somebody that's going to sign one of these easements needs to know this stuff. And I'm experienced at it. They come and fix stuff, and they break the rules, and I've had it happen on all three of them, where the easement says that you can do this, 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 and this, and this, and all of a sudden you catch them out there, and they're not following the rules. You know, so I get frustrated after a while. When you gotta be on the ball, just for example, the line that came through in 53, it says right in the easement that they cannot construct on that on their property. Their 170 feet or whatever it is, I don't remember. But they can't construct anything on there. Only thing they're allowed to do is maintenance. And they came through, I caught them putting in fiber optics on that line. They took one top wire off, and they put a fiber optic line on there, and now that is not maintenance, that is construction. And it was easy to deal with them because I'm the only one that caught them, and they just went back to the pickup and wrote me a check. But that's the kind of stuff they do. They do that without, we get away with it, we got away with it. And if we don't, we don't, you know. But that stuff does happen. Okay. I guess I've said enough.
Hang on. We might have some more questions for you.
You got more questions?
Commissioner Chrisman?
I for sure do. First of all, I was, there are almost more comments, but the second one's a question. First of all, I'm intrigued by what you said about that WAPA line. First of all, I want you to know that the WAPA line was never cited by the Public Service Commission.
Yeah, I know, probably not.
The citing laws only came into
effect. Yeah, it was a federal deal.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
So, but that also, not the one going to Bismarck, but the one going southwest over toward Montana or Wyoming or wherever all it goes right in front of our ranch at Hazen. And so my grandpa did that, and he and my dad are both gone. I never knew that was only a 75-year lease, so we might have to dig into that.
Well, the ones that came through in the 60s, they'd already fixed that. You know, if it came through in the 50s, it might have that in there. It's a 99-year lease, and it'll be due in 53.
I might make it long enough to
Well, I'm not worried about it, but my children own the land, so.
But my other question is, are you the famous NASCAR, or not NASCAR, but stock car racing legend,
yes,
Paul Schultz?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Pleasure to finally meet you. I used to help a friend in the pit crews of his stock car, and you were our hero back in those days. Thanks for being here.
Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Well, Paul, thank you for coming. Your concerns aren't the first that we have heard about from landowners. And the good thing about these hearings is sometimes when the public comes up, we can inform you what's in our jurisdiction and what's not. Mm-hmm. But we do listen, and hopefully others out there are listening too. So thank you for your time in expressing your concerns and understanding what we can do and what's not in our jurisdiction.
One other thing that I just thought of is we ran into this when they were working on a wind project in this area. So many of the landowners don't live here anymore in North mm-hmm. Dakota, you know, and that's not really fair to the people that live here, because they're going to get a check and they don't even have to look at nothing. They don't have to deal with it. Now, I've drove around, I think, 12 of these things for 60 years. And one of the things that comes to mind is that I don't know whether you guys would have anything to do with this or not, but they should be approved on a no-fault. If I run into your tower, you fix your tower. I'll fix my equipment. Now, if you ever ran into one of these towers and knocked it down, the liability would break you. Because he not only, I think, the way it was explained to me, is that if the tower got knocked down for a week before it got put back up again, you'd be liable for all the electricity that thing would have traveled through that line. Well, an average farmer could never afford that. So it should be no fault. If you run into one of these things by accident, the farmer should fix his piece of equipment himself, and the power line people should fix their power line themselves. That's just the way it should be.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz.
Paul growing up as a teenager.
Is there anybody else that would like to provide public testimony? All right, seeing none, that will conclude the public testimony portion of our hearing. And I'll just ask if there's any closing remarks or any other matters we need to address before we conclude. Ms. Olson, did you have anything?
I don't have anything else, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Hansen?
Nothing.
All right, I'll ask if there's any closing remarks from the commissioners. Commissioner Kringstad?
No real closing remarks, but just want to say thank you to everybody for being here again today.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Yeah, ditto that, and we'll be having our final hearing on this project in Stanley on Friday.
Commissioner Haugenhofer?
I want to thank everybody for coming, but just a reminder, in the docket, you could go and listen to what occurred on the end of February to hear from four basin representatives and the other public opinion. So thanks again for coming.
All right, thank you. And I will add on to that the Friday hearing in Stanley will be streamed online. So if you want to listen to that hearing, you can log on and access it through the commission website as well. So with that, I will note that it's 1:59 p.m. and we will stand in recess in Commission Case PU-24-361. Thank you.